On Sunday nights, we've been studying Jesus of the Gospels, looking at the life of Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry. We looked at his birth, we looked at his growing up, the short verse we had, and then Sunday school caused me to think about those 18 years where we know nothing. And Jesus worked like we did. He sweat like we did. He worked, he labored, he got tired. For 18 years, he provided for his family and helped provide for his family. And so all of that, he knows what we have experienced. We looked at that. We looked at his baptism. We looked at the temptation. And then we looked at the Sermon on the Mount. And as we got in, the Sermon on the Mount starts in chapter 5 of Matthew, goes all the way through chapter 7 of Matthew. But when you get into chapter 6, there's a special part in that we looked at last Sunday night. And I want us to continue to look at that this morning, because it's very important to the ministry of this church. It's very important to each one of your individual lives. Very important. And so we're going to take the time this morning to look at that. It starts in Matthew 6, beginning at verse 5. It's a rather lengthy passage, but read with me. She either lost a teacher or she lost her water, okay? We're so glad she has a teacher, aren't we? We're glad to have her here. Okay, Matthew 6, beginning at verse 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when thou pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Then verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." 15, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." When Jesus gave this model prayer to his disciples, he was not saying, "This is the perfect prayer." That's not what he was saying. You know, after salvation, prayer is probably the most important thing in our lives, because that's how we communicate with God. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about prayer. In the beginning, God was able to speak directly to man. He talked to Adam directly, face to face. And down through history, there have been other times when he has spoken face to face with man. But once Adam and Eve sinned, God could no longer talk to them face to face. And prayer was the only way that they could communicate. If we don't have prayer in our lives, we are not communicating with God. God cannot abide sin. He cannot abide evil. And so when we get ready to pray to God, we need to make sure that our hearts are clean. That's why he couldn't talk face to face with Adam and Eve after they sinned. Now, I can't see into your hearts. I'm glad you can't see into mine either. I don't know anything about each of your prayer lives, except for what I see here in church. Please permit me to share my heart this morning with you. I am not preaching at any particular person. I'm not preaching at anyone. I'm sharing my heart with you this morning about the most important subject that we can broach in the Word of God. What I see here sometimes at church scares me. It makes me think that prayer is not very important to some of you. I'm not being judgmental or harsh, but I see very little time being invested in prayer here. And it is something that as a church we need to spend some time at, not just individually in our prayer closets, but corporately as a body of believers, as a family together. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, addresses prayer and the relationship that it plays in ministry. Jesus gave his followers an example of what a prayer should be. And from the middle of verse 9 through verse 13, we have what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, I actually know people who pray this daily, and they call that prayer. And people, it's not. It takes 22 seconds to read it. 22 seconds out of an entire day. And they think they have prayed. So, it is an example of where prayer should be, but it's not prayer. Jesus gave that example to those who were present that particular day as an example of what prayer should include. And in order to accomplish what God wanted to achieve, we have to have a conversation with him. In verse 5 through 15 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was teaching his followers how to communicate with their heavenly Father. Once a relationship was established, until you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your prayers do not go to God. Your prayers are bouncing off the walls. Because God cannot communicate with a sinner except there's one prayer he can hear. One prayer he responds to. And that is, Father, forgive me, for I am a sinner. The sinner's prayer he hears. All the rest, and I've said it many times, I'll say it again this morning, in Psalm 66, verse 18, God tells us, if I regard iniquity, that's any sin at all, any sin, in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so, you can pray all day long, but if you have any sin in your heart at all, God does not hear it. He says so. Is his word true? Yes, it is. So when he says that, we need to be aware of the fact that we have to do some heart preparation before we do any praying. We need to make sure there's nothing there that would interfere with our speaking to God, discussing with him what he wants from us. I constantly refer to Psalm 66:18, but I want to read a verse before that and a couple of verses after so that you can take that verse in context. That's important, that we take all of the Bible in context. And in Psalm 66, I want to read 16 through 20. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Wow. If we go to him with a right heart attitude, he's going to hear our prayers. Not only is he just going to listen, he's going to answer them. So, verse 16 of Psalm 66 tells us where prayer absolutely, positively must come from. It has to come from our hearts, not our lips. From our hearts. You can say all the words you want. That's not prayer. It's got to come from the heart. That's what verse 16 says. Come and hear, all in fear of the God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. That's where prayer comes from. So before you begin to pray, you need to inventory your life. Before you begin to pray, you need to inventory your life. Were you angry with somebody? Did you say something that you shouldn't have said? Did you do something you should not have done? All of these are things that can hinder our prayer. And so when we pray corporately or as a church, as a group, we can't just go and start speaking words. That's not coming from the heart. That's coming from the mouth. And so we need to examine our hearts, and we need to confess to God. If we shall confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then we can pray. Then we can ask God. Folks, prayer is not instantaneous. Oh, there are times when prayer is instantaneous. But most of the time, if we're going to spend time in prayer, prayer has to be thought through. It's not just a matter of saying. It's so easy. People, I have experienced this in my own life. It's so easy for somebody to say, would you pray for me? And we say, sure, I'll pray for you. And then we don't. We go on about our life, and we're doing the things that we normally do. And maybe once in a while, we might remember it at night, in the middle of the night, wake up and say, oh, I said I was going to pray for him. I guess I better pray for him. Something that my wife and I have started doing, if somebody comes up and says, would you pray for me? Right then, let's do it. Now, we can't do that if we don't have our hearts right. So the first thought must be, is everything okay? Yes. All right, let's pray. That is what should happen. That's what Jesus did. And he gave us an example of how to do that. And so prayer takes time. prayer does not come from here. It doesn't. Prayer comes from the heart, from the soul. And that's where it has to come from, because it means nothing. Now, we're told in Scripture that the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And none of us are right. We're all sinners. Look around tonight. This morning. There is nobody sitting here who's not a sinner. If there is, you're in the wrong place. You need to get out of here. Because you're with a bunch of them. Just like people don't want to, you know, go to church with hypocrites. We need to think about our prayer life. Now, the prayer, verses 19 and 20, for example, in Psalm 66, become part of the song in our heart. I hope that all of you folks go around with a song in your heart, because Jesus is a wonderful song to know and experience. And God loves us so much. What do we have to fret over? He knows what's going on in our lives. We don't have to tell him. He knows, because he's keeping track of each one of us, so he can care for us, so he can meet our needs, so he can intercede for us when it's needed. So once we've taken an inventory and everything's okay, then we can go ahead and begin praying to God. Now, one thing that we must remember as believers, as children of God, and that is, he does not owe us anything. He does not owe us anything. If anything at all, we should be in hell. But out of his mercy, because of his grace, we can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he takes away our sin. But God does not owe us anything. So what do we need to expect of him, other than what we are told in the Word? Now, in verses 5 and 6 of Matthew 6, they're part of the directions that Jesus gave us to be included with each of our prayers. First of all, when we pray, we're not thinking about the people who might overhear us. I have noticed you, and I think I said something about this Wednesday night. I have noticed every one of you. I have never seen any of you come into church and not speak to somebody. Every one of you, when you have come into church, you have talked to people. Brothers and sisters, people you love, people who love you back. If you can talk to people, certainly you can talk to God. Because he loves you, and you know that. And so when you pray, if it's out loud, if you're praying in a group, as we will be doing on Wednesday nights, if you're praying in a group, don't think about what other people are going to think about your prayer. You're not praying to them. You're praying to him, the one who loves you, the one who has saved you, the one who cares about you, cares what happens to you. He's the one you're talking to. It doesn't matter what other people hear you say. You're talking to a friend. You're talking to someone your soul depends upon. And it doesn't matter what you say, as long as it is coming from the heart. Some people can pray some beautiful prayers. Some of us are not capable of that. Some of us, our vocabulary is simpler. And we are just speaking to our Heavenly Father. So we need not be conscious of what other people are hearing as long as we are speaking to Him. And that's who prayer should be directed to God. Now, effective prayer is not measured by the number of words. It's measured by the faith that produces that prayer. You say that again. Effective prayer is not measured by the number of words. It's measured by the faith that are behind those words. Romans 10:17 tells us this: so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we pray, we should be praying according to the word of God. There is not a single Mercedes 450 in the Bible. So don't pray for one. There's not a Lincoln Town Car in the Bible. God knows everything we need, and He can provide it if we are in the place that He wants us to be. Prayer must be rooted in the Word of God in order to be of faith. See, prayer takes some thought. And as you read your Bible every day, you're building up faith. You're building up an understanding of what it says, what is okay with God, what He wants to do for you. Do you think He wants any of us to be homeless? To have to live out in the woods? No, He doesn't. And He has said He will provide what you have need of if you are in His will. But that's the key. How do you know what His will is? You have to find it here. Perhaps now you begin to say, why I'm so concerned about our prayer life as a church family. It's not something you can speak a couple of minutes, pack up your stuff, and leave. It takes that long to get your heart ready. And then, one of the things that Jesus said that we're supposed to do when we're praying, we're supposed to go to our prayer closet and shut the door. Okay? Now listen. If you are at home or you're in some other place and you can get by yourself and you have a place where you like to go and pray, I do at home, I know my wife does, you can go there and nobody's going to bother you. I don't take my cell phone or I turn it down because this is my God and I time. Used to have that at camp. Teach the kids about spending time with God every day. And that develops good habits. But if you're in a corporate situation where there's other people around, how do you go to your prayer closet and shut the door? Your prayer closet is here, folks. And the door is here too. Remember, you're not praying for people's listening. You're talking to God. And you are talking to Him and Him alone. And He's going to know whether you're talking to Him or if you're talking to the people sitting around you. Now, do you start to see why I say 2 or 3 minutes is not adequate for prayer? Prayer takes time and it requires preparation. Even in the middle of the night, when you wake up, it takes a few minutes to make sure your heart is right. It takes a time of confession. Because every day, the devil's trying to trip you up. Every day, the devil's going to put things in your way. He's going to try and sidetrack you. He's going to try and put an obstacle in your path. It'll be there. And you know what the biggest obstacle that any of us have? Us. Us. We keep falling over ourselves. We keep getting proud. We have desires. We have will. And you know, if we can't get what we want, nobody's going to get it. You know, when mama's not happy, nobody's happy. Okay. I have to be sure there's no sin in my heart before I address my Heavenly Father. You all need to do the same. I need to deal with my sin before I begin to pray. You all need to do the same. Any sin means all sin. We can't say, well, you know, this doesn't matter over here because that's my little pet peeve or my little pet sin. No, any sin, we need to deal with it. Pride is going to be the biggest thing that you and I have to deal with. Pride. Say, well, I'm not proud. Yeah, you just lied. We all have pride. God says it's a sin. So we have to deal with that before we start talking to him. Jesus was the most humble person ever came upon this earth. And yet he was God. And we need to understand we're not God. And we have nothing to be proud about. But yet we are. Oh, I'm glad I dressed up like this for church. I look so good. Oops. Now, Dr. Bob Sr., he was a man who died probably 60 years ago. He used to tell the school congregation we had at that point we had almost 5,000 preacher boys in the school, and then there was a lot of other students there, about 10, 11,000 at Bob Jones University. He would say, okay, ladies, if the barn needs painting, paint it. Talking about their makeup. That's not pride. Okay? That's just trying to put on the best appearance you can. As long as you don't get proud about it. Okay? Before we go any further, I want to clarify what I've said. Prayer is not measured by time or words. There must be a heart preparation before prayer. Prayer comes from the heart, not the mouth. Prayer from the mouth is not prayer at all. It's speech. The mouth cannot exhibit faith. Do you know that? Mouth can't exhibit faith. It's only our hearts. Faith comes from the heart, based upon the Word of God, what we know of the Word of God. Two words can be a prayer. I have heard a prayer consisting of two words. Oh God. Oh God. When we don't know what to say or how to respond to a situation we suddenly find ourselves enveloped in, surrounded by. Sometimes that's the only prayer we can think of. Oh God, we don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit is not communicating with our heart, or we're so shocked that we don't think about a Bible passage or how this might affect our lives. I've heard prayers of two words. They were sincere. They were fervent. They were effective prayer. But for it to be heard by God, our hearts must be without iniquity. And so as we go through the days, in order to be prepared for instantaneous prayer, we need to keep checking our heart. And if we know, if the Holy Spirit says, uh-oh, you did that, you need to deal with it right then. Not postpone it, because you may need to pray and you won't have time to get things sorted out. That's how important prayer is, people. That's how important God's word. All of God's word is perfect truth. There are no parts of it that don't apply to us today. Like I said, in Amos, as we're studying Amos, what he preached that was 2,500 years ago. What he is preaching right now, what we're reading out of the word, Amos, applies to our nation today, applies to you and I today. Now, we might not like what we're seeing or what we're hearing, but it's the truth, because it's in God's word. And that's why we study the word. That's why we meet together here to hear the word and respond to the word. Psalm 66:18, verse I have quoted and quoted, was written by King David. When he wrote it, it was the truth. Jesus says, nothing will happen to this truth forever. It was true when he wrote it. It's true when you read it. And it will be true to the end of time. It's this way with all the Bible. So when we sin, we need to repeat or repent. We need to confess. And once we've done that, then we're ready to pray. From verse 10, we see the first petition, that the kingdom of God might come to earth. And folks, I'm praying more often now, Lord Jesus, come back. It's time. That was the first petition. And then also, that we not be tempted. If you're an alcoholic, a bar is not a place you ought to be. You're placing yourself in the way of temptation. I hate to say this, because I've been trying to talk my wife into going there for almost 2 years now. But if you're a glutton, don't go to Golden Corral. The prayer, lead us not into temptation. That's a legitimate prayer for all of us. God, don't put me in a place where I'm going to sin, or I know I'm going to sin. Do you see how our prayer life is becoming very concise? That it's not just broad, covering the whole world. It's very personal and peculiar to you because of your relationship with God. Verse 11 is not asking for sausage biscuits or any other kind of food. Now it's asking for everything that we're going to need to get through this life successfully. And God knows what we need. And if you don't have it, there's one of two reasons you don't have it. Either you are in the wrong place for Him to give it to you, or you don't need it. He's going to provide some other way. How many times, we're all adults here. How many times have we worried about something? How am I going to do this? Or how am I going to provide for that? Or how am I going to take care of this? And when it comes right down to the moment, God says, here, you need this. Instead, we go out and we make our own arrangements to cover what's needed. And it's wrong. And there are always consequences to that. Always. You want to go through life without consequences? Get your prayer life going. And you can get through life without consequences. God wants every one of us to succeed. God wants every one of us to be able to accomplish His will. And if we don't accomplish His will, it's because we're in the wrong place, we're doing the wrong thing. If we don't have what's necessary to accomplish the job God gives us, it's because we're in the wrong place or that's the wrong job. If you're doing what God wants you to do, God is going to provide for you. Now, verse 12 is a biggie here in this prayer. There are those of us, or those among us, who are not willing to forgive. Folks, that is so important. You want God's forgiveness, you want your sin forgiven, then you have to forgive if you want God to forgive you. If you do not forgive anything, you do not have God's forgiveness. That's the truth of His word. That's what Jesus said here. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We have to forgive, and that forgiveness needs to be instantaneous. It needs to be, and we need to work at it. God, if you have not forgiven everybody in your life, if there's anything in your past that you have not forgiven, any individual, God does not hear your prayers. If I regard iniquity in my heart, that's iniquity. Not forgiving, not obeying what God says. If I have iniquity in my heart, God does not hear me. And God does not hear you. If you have iniquity in your heart, forgive. We've got to forgive. And that's part of prayer. That's part of prayer life. It tells us, and I'm not going to be able to finish all of this, but it tells us if we bring our gift to the altar and there realize that we have a brother or sister that has ought against us, ought, anything, we're to leave our gift right there, and we're going to take care of that with them.
then come back and give the gift. We need some powerful praying in order for us to know what God wants us to do. And in order to have the power within us through His Holy Spirit to do it. God wants to talk to you today. He wants to talk to you all day. I talk to my wife the whole time we're up. Or she talks to me. We ought to have that kind of a relationship with God. We ought to constantly be thinking about Him, constantly talking to Him. That's what He wants from us. And that's what I want to see in our church. Our prayer had become somewhat callous, somewhat commonplace. And so we're going to change things around a little bit, giving all of us a chance to be more effective in our prayers, to make sure that our prayers are being heard. And we will see God work. I've already seen Him working. And you will too. The minute you start talking to Him, He's going to start showing you stuff. Hey, you see what I did down there? Look what I did for you yesterday. You know what I'm going to do for you tomorrow? Oh, He may not tell us that. But we can know. We can know that we are in fellowship with Him. And that's what we have to have, every one of us. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to go to Him, and I'm going to close this message in prayer. But I hope that your prayer life will perhaps be changed just a little bit, that it might be more real. Wednesday nights, we're going to pray in groups. You will notice in the bulletin today, there was no prayer list on the back of the sheet. There was our missionaries, there was our country and some of the needs that we have, but there was no list of prayer requests on the back. Two reasons. One is that they get old after a while. Some of them have been there for years, even though we change it. So we want to be more effective. We want to share our prayer requests with each other. Pray for them, expect an answer, and go on about our life. We're going to do that on Wednesday nights. We'll take very brief prayer requests. While I got you here with the doors locked, we don't have to tell God what's going on. He knows. We don't have to tell God what to do. He already knows, and we're not God. A prayer request can be a name and a need, short need. We don't have to have an explanation as to what kind of surgery and how many instruments they used and how they sterilized all of that stuff. A name, a need. That's a prayer request. So we're going to change things. And sometimes we don't have a name. We see something. Pray for this situation. No explanation, just pray for this situation. And we won't have to lose time giving prayer requests that last, 5 minutes. Short prayer request, name, need. God knows all about it. We don't have to tell Him. And that, hopefully, we will begin to change the way we go about prayer. Father, we are so grateful that You have told us in Your Word that Jesus gave us an example. And Father, we know that You care about what's going on in our life. We know, too, that you are prepared to take care of us and provide the things we need. Father, help us to understand the difference between need and desire. Help us understand the need between lust and what real need is. And Father, help us to come to you with pure hearts. Help us to forgive. Help us to commune with you. And Father, use us to accomplish your will. Use us as a ministry, as a church family, to grow our family by reaching out to others with the gospel, and go ahead of each one of us and prepare that heart that we're going to share the gospel with. Thank you, Father, that we can ask this of thee. Help us to pray more fervently, more effectively, and we will praise you because you're the one who will make this possible, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.